Basically, I want everybody to get this. I was like, okay. So some of you, put your hands up, some of you weren't in the conference. Can I just see your hands? Okay, and you might feel like I missed out on something. I am taking him to Bakersfield this afternoon, so try not to worry, just pray for me. Oh, more of Bakersfield. Actually, I quite like Bakersfield. I do. The people are just kind of normal, and I always remember this. No, but I love this place. This is home. This has been home for years and years and years. But I do quite like Bakersfield. And when my friends said, "You're going to marry a guy from Bakersfield?" I was like, "What's the matter with Bakersfield?" My Beverly Hills friends at the time. But anyway, enough of all of that stuff. Let's move on in the spirit, because we're not quite finished with the resurrection assignment. This morning as I was praying, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, what is today? Because he always takes me each day, make each day a masterpiece, and then your whole life becomes a story that's worth listening to. It just came to me that today, I was reading an email or something, today is the last day of Sukkot. And I didn't know what that meant. But apparently it means that you're saying goodbye to that season and you're welcoming this new season today, which is the time of welcoming the Word. And I thought, gosh, that's amazing, because the message that I have for you is very basic, really, to some of us. But I have learned, I've never known a place in my life that the Holy Spirit couldn't lift me up out of. I've never known anywhere, and I've been through some pretty tough stuff without going back into all of that. And God will continue to sort of dig, because he's shaping our lives. So he'll keep provoking, he'll keep prompting, he'll keep... You know, you keep going through things and you wonder, why is this taking so long? Because you're probably missing it over here somewhere. You think you're doing all the right thing, but maybe you're not being humble and missing it over here. That is the most adorable child. Whose is this child? I know you've adopted it. I know, I've watched you. But whose child is it? Oh, we love you, little one. We do. We love the children. So today is a new season. It's a love for the Word of God. I'm probably not saying it right. Maybe that guy in here still? Are you in here who I spoke to before the service? Is that you and you were explaining it to me? Do you want to come and say it properly? Yeah. Well, better than me fudging it. Just come say it into a microphone here, there. Because I think it's important, because we're talking about having a spirit like an Issachar spirit. We have understanding of the times.
Yes, and so this is like the end of the joyous last year and the beginning of the new year, and it's the beginning of the starting the Word, reading the Word from Genesis 1 again and all the way through the Bible. So it's like a new beginning of joy to be excited, you know, to your first love, to go back and to love the Word.
I love it. Thank you. I don't need it, but I could hold it. I'm kind of a responsible. I've always in my life been responsible for things. So anyway, why don't you act like this morning, it is a brand new start as we look at the Word. Because here, if you want to open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy, you know, there are various trials and tests and things in the Bible that we go through. And I don't think I'm going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to... We'd be here all day. I'm not going to do a Bible study thing, but here's where I want to get to. So the Lord spoke to the people in Israel, and they had come out of the wilderness, remember, in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8, and I'm using an Amplified Bible. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us will have ears to hear what you are saying to us. Because a lot of people miss the innuendos until it becomes an explosion. And we don't want that in our life. We've all messed up many times. We pray that we will really hear. We'll really hear. We will really hear what you are saying. So I thank you that you're teaching us to move in a different time, that normally we think of December the 31st like the end of a year. But I pray that you continue to help us shift into the spiritual timing. Like I heard Rod say earlier about you have appointed times. Nothing's by accident. Proverbs says even the accidental things are ordered by you. So I ask you to help us see what's going on in our lives, why some things are taking a long time to manifest, why other things are just happening. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you help and teach and guide and comfort and strengthen and come alongside of us to be our standby. Gosh, we so need you. God, we need you so much. We need you, Holy Spirit, to teach us today what we need right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're stepping into a new season, yeah? We've released the sound of resurrection life, and we're now understanding by faith. We have understanding of the times, and we understand what's happening. So here God was saying to the Israelites, where they were had been in the wilderness and stuff, and that's a long trial, the wilderness trial, because you go round and round, and you're like, what the heck is going on here, you know? And look what it says here in verse 2. You shall earnestly remember all the way which the Lord your God led you for these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your mind and heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And this is very powerful. I don't know about you, but I don't really like being humbled. I'm like, geez, you know. People say, oh, you're offended, don't get offended. I'm like, yeah, I was. That was offensive. That was humbling. But then I go to God, and he reminds me that it's actually a privilege to go through these things because I'm learning more grace, I'm learning more love, I'm making progressive steps forward. So if you're feeling like I'm not very happy with my circumstances, I'm not very comfortable with my situation, you know, just turn it around a bit. Turn your thinking around and say, thank God I'm learning some humility here. I'm learning to humble myself. My life is not my own. I can't just whiz off and be free here, there, and everywhere because my life belongs to God. And God requires of me a certain standard of operation, if you like, a modem of operation. He wants me to be totally free to dance and be joyful, but he's looking at the motive of my heart all the time. And I can't be oblivious and say, oh, I'm just free as a bird to fly and do this, that, and the other. I am actually not. I'm actually being humbled in situations in my life that are really very humbling. They are humbling to me. I'm like, oh, been there, done that 100 times, haven't I? And God's like, no, because it's still winding you up. So you just have to ask yourself, what is winding you up? Look, and he goes on in verse 3 and he says, he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you recognize and personally know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. You know, that's easy to say yes and hallelujah and all the nice religious things and the Christian things that we say, but actually it really takes a long time to wait to hear what the Lord is saying in your spirit and to move in that way. Because you immediately disassociate yourself from people and you're listening to the Lord and you're singing or playing or whatever you're doing, but you begin to speak what your heart says. Now, I told you I lived in a situation around the Rolling Stones and I couldn't speak my heart out. Who was I going to talk to? Do you think Mick Jagger was going to listen to me? I just roll my eyes for those of you who couldn't see what I was doing. And I know you're not supposed to roll your eyes, but hello. There are times in your life where you want to talk to somebody, you want to communicate, you want some intimacy, you want to talk honestly without getting yelled at. And God loves you to come and talk to him. God loves you to understand that every word that proceeds out of his mouth will come to pass. When I went to heaven and I turned around to look at him, this two-edged sword came out of his mouth. I mean, I saw it with noise, and it just went out into eternity. And I mean, I was just like, what is that? And it is, he does have a two-way sword. You have to understand, when I just say this, the name of Jesus, all of heaven and hell, all of eternity just stops for a minute. Just shift for a minute. When I say Jesus, he's a name above every name. So I fear sometimes to say that name, because I know that every knee will bow. There will come a day in London, in New York, in Los Angeles, there will come a day where he will suddenly appear. In 1978, when I was lifted up out of my body, the last thing Jesus said to me was, my time of coming is at hand, because he turned, and I felt that down here. And I was like, oh my God, you can't leave me. Because, you know, we were laughing this morning because Rod was talking about the Bible, and he was saying, you have to know the Bible. And I just was very quiet, you know. I was just praying, I was just listening, and, you know, I've got the best husband in the world. I do. I do. He was prayed in, and he's kept here by prayer. And he brought me breakfast in bed. That was off the charts. But you didn't tell me you stole something. See, I always find out. I wish I didn't know the things I find out sometimes. I'm just like, oh. But we were talking, and he was talking about the Word. And he has such a love for the Word of God. And sometimes I just have to kind of come back a bit. It's just my Englishness. It's me. It's who I am. I have to stand up for myself. And so I said, yeah, the whole Bible, I love it too. But, you know, I forget how I said it really. But basically, if you have a moment with the man the whole Bible is about, what does that tell you? So, now, I didn't pray for an encounter. I don't pray for encounters. I pray for what the next place is, and I ask, what's next? And we talked about that during the resurrection life. Ask him, what's next in my life? I didn't know today was the last day of Sukkot. I just knew God wanted me to share with you about looking into the Word. So can we just go to James 1:23? I know you'll know some of these scriptures, you'll have read them, but I feel like the Lord wants us to look at them again. James 1, actually we'll start in 22, says, but be ye doers of the Word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, obey it, betraying yourself. Don't just listen to it, betraying yourself into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Verse 23, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself. Yeah, I look okay. Hey, this will work. And then he goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. So, verse 25 says, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience. So I felt like God wants to minister to you today about looking in the mirror. You know, there are so many times that we come against situations And we don't know what decision to make. We don't know how to make decisions. Proverbs 16:3 has been a life verse for me because I've had to make decisions. So I say, Proverbs 16:3, God caused my thoughts to become agreeable to your will, so my plans succeed and are established. God caused my thoughts to become agreeable, because my thoughts are not, his thoughts are higher. He's not into all this stuff down here. He's into higher thoughts. He's got more for your life. He's got more for you to think about. He's got a lot more. And every time I look in the mirror, the Word, I'm sort of shocked. I don't think there's ever been a time that I look into the Word that I find something I don't know. And this morning as I was praying, and the Holy Spirit was just quickening me about what day it is. Because I love to know, I like to be in sync with God. I like to say, not just pray, but I like it to be a reality that I have understanding of the times. I have a sense of the occasion. I like that. I like to know when it's time to go to war. You know, and you can worship and go to war, or you can make a loud noise and go to war. And lately, the Lord's been ministering to me that our prayer life is going to be changing in this next season. That whereas before we've prayed a lot of prayers and commanded things and decreed things to come down, now we're actually going to start governing. We're actually going to start understanding that we live in these end times, and like Jesus said to the Jews in his time, and we were doing a course, a WLI course a couple of weeks back on the Holy Spirit, and we were hearing how the Jews had understood there's one God, O Israel. So here comes Jesus saying, I'm sending you another comforter, helper, standby, strengthener, advocate, teacher. I mean, it was a complete mindset change that they had to suddenly think of, huh? I thought we had one God. And I'm saying we need to like step into the place that God is saying to us, I'm showing you a new side of me. I'm beginning to open up who I am. I am who I am now. And we're beginning to learn to say, Father, but you are the healer, and now healing is. Father, that you are my shepherd, and I shall not lack. Father, it is okay to be the head and not the tail. It's okay to come into a relationship and know that I can be successful and not just sing about it. I can look into the Word of God and I can become a doer of the Word of God. Why? Because I have access. Years ago, we lived out in this little house in Lane End. I didn't want to live in it. I didn't want to be there. God has a sense of humor. It was our first house that we bought and we owned, and I was grateful that you went for it. But it was 900 square feet. And when I first used to come to this house, I used to preach. I mean, our house was about as big as half this platform. And you used to have the whole world up there. And I was actually quite upset when you painted over it. You used to have every nation in the whole world, didn't you? And that was before the flags. And I used to love that, because I would come here and it would be like my place of safety. It would be like I'd left LA because California had become home to me, but God had spoken to me and said, go home, sell all, and I'll meet you in London. I thought that was so mean. I told you the story about the airplanes and the signs that would keep jumping at me, and I was like, leave me alone. I rebuked God's voice for a year, thinking that was going to be the devil. But I made a decision to hear God's voice. Make a decision to hear his voice. Make a decision. What does it mean to have a love for the Word of God? What does it mean to start over? Just act like you're a child. Just act like you're a child. You don't know anything. Don't act like you know it all. Just act like a child. Be a child. He didn't say be childish. He said be childlike. He doesn't want us to be childish. He doesn't want us to be vague or thoughtless or foolish concerning his will. you know, he wants us to ask him what is going on in this situation. I want to look in the mirror. I want to understand, not forget. So the times I've looked into the mirror and God has said to me, I've got many things to tell you, but I can't right now because you wouldn't get it. One time he told me that years ago. And I sure didn't. I sure didn't because I got involved in a church situation with a Christian political situation where God had revealed some things to me about a brother who was a sociopath, and it was just, nobody could see it. And sometimes you intercessors carry things that are very burdensome, yeah? Sometimes you're going to pick up some things in these about these nations, you're going to start thinking, I don't want to be bothered with that, and then you pick up a book and it starts to jump at you about Israel or about Iraq. Or you turn a program on and it's suddenly it's all about it and you God's beginning to teach you. It's tough out there where women and children are being slaughtered and beheaded right now as we stand in here. It's tough. I haven't been there. I don't know it face to face. I just know the things that God is having me grow up into in this word. So I want you to go in your Bibles to well, I'll just read a scripture as you go there. We're going to go to Exodus 16:6, because I'm just going to teach you for a short few more moments some principles. But here in 2 Corinthians 2:17 in the Amplified, it says, we're not like so many like hucksters making a trade of peddling God's word, shortchanging and adulterating the divine message, but like men of sincerity and purest motives as commissioned and sent by God, we speak his message in Christ in the very sight and presence of God. So I learned very early, I'm not peddling the word of God, but I learned a God confidence that comes out of Hebrews 4, if you like, where the word is active and alive, and then you know it goes down to the deepest parts of our being, and it sorts out what's in our head and what's in our heart. It separates. So you can pray. But I learned that praying the word, I was speaking the word in God's presence. I learned that praying the word, I was speaking the word from the earth in God's presence. So that when I would walk the beaches of sunny California and he would give me those scriptures in Psalm 16, the lions have fallen in pleasant places, I'd think, what does that mean? He'd give me those scriptures in Isaiah about being a sharp threshing instrument, you know, that he'd be with me when I passed through the trouble and the waters. That didn't make sense to me, but I knew that I was speaking it in his sight. So what I want to say about your prayer lives today and about this being a time of the word is let the Holy Spirit bring to you some scriptures, because you don't live by what you eat and by bread alone. You live by the word. You live by the word. Before I met Rod, I used to go out to Palm Springs about once a month and top up my suntan and go walk in the mountains there and just love the stillness. I love being there with God. And God used to speak to me there. And God sent many situations that was like a call to my soul. And it was tempting. But God began to minister to me through the word that he had a plan for me. And he took me over to Luke 5, and I began to see this harvest. And I'm saying, we are now coming into a huge, full harvest. And you should be expecting it. There's an anointing on it from heaven. And God is looking for those who are rising up and want it and say, Lord, I want the full harvest that you have for my life. Never mind all this other stuff. I want the full harvest, and I want it this year. Amen. Amen. I don't know how he's going to manifest, but I know that he is not limited. We have limited him. And please don't limit God, because I had this dream at the beginning of this year. And it was just a weird dream. It was one of those dreams that just really... And someone was trying to give me 800 million. I don't know if it was dollars or pounds. My friend in England, she said, let's make it pounds. Actually, it doesn't make much difference now, sadly. But anyway, all I know is I spent about 2 months thinking, oh, 800 million. So I do the first service sometimes in the month in the church, and I want to keep them on track, keep up here, keep some focus. So I said about this dream, and I said, you know, I could make you all millionaires overnight. There's about 100 or so people in our church, and it's growing. But and I just want to say, we are going after a building in Covent Garden, yeah. And it is a battle. So please, when you pray, pray for us, because we're like kicking the doors down. We are, get out of the way, we're coming in. We're coming in to our destined place. They don't want a church there. We're not a church like they think of church, you know. So anyway, so I told all the church, and the following week I was at a prayer meeting with somebody who's probably worth three times that much, and I told them, you know, what happened. And they were like, well, you didn't tell anybody, did you? I said, yeah, I did tell everybody. I did. I just blah, blah, blah. That's just the way I am. So for about 6 months, I was thinking, you know, that I could just give you a million. You know, I don't have it right now. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. But, you know, it changes your thinking. But then I went and I prayed about it, and God said to me, I didn't tell you you could make everybody millionaires, because it was funny, it changed my prayer life and the way I started praying for them. Because I knew some people would be out there buying a new car and buying a new house. I knew other people had a passion for ministry and for the kingdom. But then I started talking to the guy who helps us at home, and I said, you know, actually, we're going to have to become like one of those people that you have to pass applications to get 5,000 or 10,000. We're going to have to become a lot more frugal. And so this year, what's happened is the Lord has taught me through that dream to think differently. That's why I said Proverbs 16:3 is a good prayer to pray. Cause my thoughts to become agreeable to your will, so my plans succeed. So I've started thinking very differently. I don't know what that's got to do with anything, but you have access. You have access to unlimited. It doesn't mean you go and run up your credit cards. You just pay for them to get paid off. But it means that you just take control of your life and you start realizing and recognizing, I actually have access to God and his word. And when I pray his word, if I will hold on to it, wow. Actually, can we just go back to Deuteronomy for a minute? Sorry, or forward. I didn't finish something in there. I just wanted to say sorry to give this to you. Do this way. I'm learning a lot from Rod. Verse 16 in Deuteronomy 8. Let's just go back there for a minute. He says about the future in verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. So my God's bringing me to a good place. He was telling Israelites that. He's telling me that. I must not worry about pensions and money and buildings and all that stuff, because he's bringing me into a good place. And for years and years and years, I mean a lot of years, he's told me I'm going to see more in my day than I ever saw with the Beatles in the 60s in London. I'm going to see more in my day. He says, you're going to see more in your day. Now, you know, we go, how can that be? Just listen to this for a minute. Verse 16, the Lord who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. And beware lest you say in your mind and heart, my power and might, the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers this day. In other words, until you come to a place where God is your healer, where God is your provider, where God is your everything, where you're not embarrassed about it all, where you can move into a place where you can accept this word, you will learn something, because we're going to go to Exodus 16 now. You will learn something not just to overcome health and relationship issues and money stuff. You'll learn how to overcome and be an overcomer. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. And this is how you do it. When God took me to this place, He said to me, you know, you'll never know my word until you're willing, totally willing for me to change you. And I do feel specially favored because I had such a strong glimpse of heaven and hell and Jesus. I feel like that's not God. You know, I'll see things happen and I think, well, that's not holy. You'll never convince me that's holy. That's soulish stuff. That's earthly stuff. There's some things I know because I saw. I saw the love in heaven. I saw the love for everyone. I saw the embracing and the encouragement of everyone. Yeah. So he says here in Exodus 16, verse 2, the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. In other words, they complained. They were in this wilderness, and all they did was complain. Complain, complain, complain. And they complained against the leadership. They complained, complained, complained. They said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. That's like saying, you know, it was better back then in the 60s. The music was better back then. Because it made us dance, it made us free. We stayed up till 4 a.m. dancing and doing stuff. It was better then. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from the heavens for you. In other words, supernaturally. In other words, totally supernaturally. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. So it's like you come into a situation and you feel humbled and you feel like, God, what's going on? It's a proving time, really, to stand in the grace and say, thank you, you're perfecting that which concerns me. Your word is wonderful. And just go with the word. Just go with the word. Never mind what's going on. Just go with the word. You know, God is going to bring you the very best, and he'll probably do that first. And even if you're not quite ready for it because of the reasoning, go with your heart and trust God. So here he goes on. Like, so in other words, one day, just treat this day. Say, God, give me your word today. That I might have your, that I might have understanding of the times, that I might know, like the words Pastor Steve brought, awesome from Haggai, spot on. You know, and he's not going to be concerned if somebody who seems insignificant sits in the back row or something brings the word. You know, the word of the Lord comes. It came through a donkey, for goodness sake. I remember when I was going after the barn, I really wanted that barn. I really wanted it because I felt good there. But I didn't have the money or anything. And I went to get my hair cut, and the girl who normally cuts it was away in South Africa. And this other guy was cutting it, and he was very, very worldly. And he was talking to me, and I was looking on my computer, and he said, you know, every time, what is that you're looking at? I said, oh, it's a barn I've just seen out in the country. He said, but look how happy you get when you look at it. And I'm thinking, who the heck are you to tell me that? And the Lord says, even the donkey had to speak to the prophet. You know, it's humbling. But the guy said to me, you know, I drive a Porsche. I've got a black Porsche outside. I've got my little hairdressing business here in Chelsea. I've got everything I ever wanted. And I'm thinking, I'm a Christian. I'm spirit-filled. I don't have everything I want. You know why? I wasn't willing to risk. I wasn't willing to step out a bit. I wasn't willing to kind of overcome the fear. So one day at a time, overcome the fear and go for what you want. If you want that to happen, ask God to help you. He's going to show you. He's going to, if you're really honest and you really, all these wonderful songs we sing, if we mean it, oh God, your will, you know. Well, shut the door if it's not for me. If I'm not supposed to live in that city, if I'm not supposed to drive that car, live, be married to this person, whatever it is, if I'm not supposed to be there, shut the door. He will. He will. He will. And I have a feeling in the next couple of weeks, some of you are going to be amazed at how the shift in the natural is going to come, because we have moved into a shift in the spirit. Suddenly, this place that used to be like, I used to feel like, oh, it's just my place, you know, and then started sharing it with Rod and now sharing it with the church. Now I'm watching, like I said to you, God doesn't want to bless you. He's got far more people in mind. He's got our nations. Your nation, my nation, in mind, when we come here, when we're not here, when we're praying, when you're praying, it means a lot, your prayers. Rod and I carry these words in our Bibles. You know, you really scared me when you came back knocking on the door this morning. I was living in the lap of luxury. I was eating breakfast in bed, and suddenly there's all this banging on the door. I'm like, hello, hello, don't come in and do the room. I'm like, don't come in right now, I'm not dressed yet. Rod had forgotten his notes. I said, honey, you're so full. He couldn't find his notes. You don't need notes. You're wonderful who you are. He is. You're humbled? Ouch, sorry. Okay. I don't know what time we're supposed to stop, but I need to just read Exodus, because you need to get these steps. It's day by day. It's every day. About the word, about getting the word that you need. On the sixth day, now listen to this, verse 5, they shall prepare to bring in twice as much as they gather daily. So there's a time when you need more. And you know what I learned? When we were under spiritual warfare attacks, I had to get a lot more word going. I had to get into it a lot more. I had to read this Bible and read that one. And one, he'd been in hospital about a week, and I came home and I was like, okay, the church, what do I do? And the Lord said, let go of everything. Just keep the church going. Keep teaching victory. And keep in my word. And let everything else go. And I let go of the barn, the prayer foundation, prayer for the nations, Deborah Company, all that stuff. Had to just, you know, what's that thing? Let it go. I had to let it go. I had to. Let it go. I got it. I got it. I got it. Okay, let the river flow. You see, just get some joy. Oh, my, my, my. How far are we from God? Whoa. So you had to do it every day, and you had to get twice as much on the sixth day. So verse 6 says, Moses and Aaron said to all Israel, at evening you shall know what the Lord has brought you out of, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. Your murmurings aren't against the people you work with or live with. Your murmurings are against the Lord. When you get like, oh, murmuring and complaining, it's not against anybody but him. Don't let go of the word of promise that he's given you. He's given every one of you the word of promise. Verse 8, Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. Because the Lord has heard your grumblings, which you murmur against him, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So just remember that. Just start to develop. Just say, I'm developing a new sensitivity to God and his word. That's what I'm doing. I am making progress on my high place of trouble and suffering and responsibility. I'm developing a new sensitivity to God's word. And Moses, verse 9, said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of Israel, come near before the Lord. for he has heard your murmurings. You know, if you're murmuring and you're complaining, I was really badly about a month ago about a situation which I discussed with you the other day. And I came before God and I said, God, I've had enough. Just you come down or take this person up. Guy, I mean, I want Christ to be formed. That's my job as an intercessor. And, I had some comeuppance because the person ended up in hospital with a heart murmur thing and has had lots of surgeries and stuff. But you know what? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, God can turn a king's heart as he turns the many water courses. God can turn your hardened heart. God can do it. God can turn your relative's hardened heart. He can do it. And he will if you just let him be God. Here the Lord said to Moses in verse 11, verse 12, I've heard the murmurings of the Israelites. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and between the two evenings you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning the dew lay around about the camp. And when the dew had gone, verse 14, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a fine, round, flake-like thing as fine hoar frost on the ground. It's kind of like the anointing. It's kind of like, it is there all the time, you know. Faith, anointing, then the glory. We learned that a long time ago. In verse 15, when the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, manna, what is it? Don't you do that with, I do that with God. Are you serious? I didn't have that in mind when I was thinking about maybe that would happen in my life. Must be joking. For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Like, oh, really? Okay. This is what the Lord has commanded. Let every man, listen to this, let every man gather of it as much as he will need, an omer for each person. According to the number of your persons, take it every man for those in his tent. In other words, an omer was that portion in the Ark of the Covenant. And it's for every man. I can't get yours, you can't get mine. I've got to get my own omer. And I've got to get enough for my family, for the unsaved ones I care about, for the music in the whole earth to suddenly take on that anointing. Because that's what I'm destined to do, and light some fires. So if you want to pray for the earth and you want to pray for these nations and you want to see some quickening, pray for the sounds, pray for the music. Pray for the sounds to begin to influence them, you know. But make sure you do it on a, make sure you begin to build that altar, okay? Because that's what it's all about. So the people did it, verse 17. Some did more, some did less. Sometimes I go into the Word and it's just like one verse. I might just Russian roulette it to the Psalm of the day or the Proverb of the day, and that does it for me. That feeds me. Other days, 2 hours later, I'm still frustrated. You do not want to be close to me because I haven't got my spirit man right. You've got to get your spirit man right and feed your spirit man. So let me jump down because I pray that you will read this passage, because what we've done in resurrection life has been over the last few days. I pray that you will get this, that you will understand Deuteronomy. You will understand that God says our lives are to do with what words are running in us and what come out of us, okay? And that you speak his word. I'm going to just stop because I feel like I'm going too long. People are getting up and wanting to go and have lunch, and I don't do that. So, Father, we do. We just thank you, and we pray that they'll understand the principles in Exodus 16:6. That, Father, some have to gather more, some have to gather less. But whatever they need, whatever they have need of for them and their families, the people that they stand in the gap for, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it happen. Let them look in the mirror themselves. Let them find out what it means to overcome. They overcome, Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Okay, you ask, I want to change my life. Okay, start praying differently. It's so simple. I can't bear my life. I have some things in my life I can't bear, and I have to just pray. I have to pray. Once you stand up, I'm going to release an anointing on you. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for the anointing of the revelation of praying your word, that when we pray your word, we don't speak it in just our ears, but we speak it. It's like a bridge. Like they pray for England and they pray for Europe, Father, and we pray for them, and suddenly we're here. It's like a dream. Pinch me. I thank you. If the worship team wants to come up, that's great. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that every place in our lives that we have limited you, you will guide us and you will bring us into a revelation of your word, and you will give us your voice on it and your take on it. Because we sure run out of steam. We run out of strength. We hear the murmuring. We hear the complaining. It wears us down. People keep us down, and people's vision of us is limited. But, Lord, we know that you have an extraordinary plan. So we release a new anointing on Steve. We release a new anointing on Cammy. We release a new anointing on America in the name of Jesus Christ. We release a whole new wind on America in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for a new anointing on Europe. We command those gates of Europe to be opened wide to hear. We thank you. We thank you that London is a platform for new songs and new music. And we praise you for this amazing connection in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated for a moment. You will be up in a second. Was that wonderful?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Julie. Both Rod and Julie, you crowning words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crowning words for the conference, because, you know, what do you do after you get raised from the dead? You reign. You rule. Yeah. You begin to live that place that God called you to be forever. And I really love the word about change your prayers. Because we've been talking about, you know, if you don't like what you're thinking, have another thought. Think a new thought. Repent. But for many of us, we're having a hard time holding the new thought because we're not praying.
Right.
Because prayer is the place where you position yourself in eternity, in truth, and in his presence. It says in Romans 4, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who calls things that do not exist as though they do, who gives life to the dead. And then it says, in hope against hope, he stepped out of the old hope into the new hope. He believed so that he could become the father of many nations. You see, you're already in God's mind made, but you have to, and I have to, become. And the place that that's really, really takes root and takes capacity to really hold its weight is in the presence of God. Think of the presence of God, the womb of God. Think of prayer as gestation. Julie spoke of the fact that Paul said in Galatians, he says, I'm back into travail to have you born again, even though you're already born again, but Christ isn't yet formed in you. You're about ready to go back into the law and go backwards and not forward into Christ. So there's something really profound about that. I want you to ask the Lord right now, God, I want a new prayer life. How many want that? Just ask the Lord. Lord, I want you to renew my prayer life. Make it brand new. I want it to be right in step, right in caliber of what it is that you require of me so that you can do in me what you're doing. I want you to activate my prayer life. The Bible says Elijah said to the king, it's not going to rain again until my word. And then he prayed again so the rain could come. So, Lord, there's been a drought of many lives, and now it's time to pray again.
Yes,
God. So awaken the again prayer. What is the again prayer? It's going to sound like that prayer again to release the rain. of your spirit and the reigning prayer of Christ in Jesus' name. I want us to receive, we're going to receive an offering. Guys, if you'll get ready, we're going to pass it out. The buckets, if you want to give, if you want to use a credit card or cash, you can hold up your hand and we'll get you an envelope. If you want to text, they'll put that up soon, or maybe they won't this time. But you can give, if you're online, there's a green button somewhere on your screen. Click that and you can give. We want to sow into Rod and Julie just because this, we're family now, and we're moving back and forth, going back and forth, and it's, we've been, like Cammy said, we've got our cousins, and you know, I was praying for somebody. I said, I feel like your uncle, because I wouldn't, Rod's your dad, I know that. He's like Mr. Possessive Protector of you guys, which is good. So, but we're beginning to have that fervent love for the entire each other's family.
Yeah.
See, that's what family begins to build. That's what makes a tribe. That's how you begin, and the tribes come together, that becomes a nation. I always say all the time, we're all families that were formed in heaven that we find ourselves in earth. We're of the same tribe, same spirit. So, so bountifully bless the church, write the check to Jubilee Church gift, but we're just going to sow this into their lives. And I want to pray, and then we're going to share one of the songs that was a releasing song yesterday, just for fun, as we close this, the meeting, and you're free to respond as the Lord would give you. It's part of the secret to victory in the midst of everything we're in the middle of. He will make you joyful in the house of prayer. Joyful. You're going to have joy. So much joy. You know, the old saying, simple as this. I prayed for strength. He gave me joy. That's how God gives strength, is joy. So, Lord, we bless Rod and Julie. We thank you that they have pursued you and allowed you to mold them. You've brought them through many things. You've given them everything, brought them through many things to now bring them to this time of occupying, possessing, and taking the fullness of what you promised long ago. We thank you for their love for their church, their love for God, kids, and their love for what you have promised to do. We bless them as they travel and to throughout America, to Bakersfield, to Rod's daughter and their son, and just the whole movement of there across our land, that you would just refresh them, speak deep into their spirits, equip them, and as when they return to London and they find their family back together and the church is there and the worship, that you would just launch Commonwealth.
Yes,
we declare that everything we have received has now already been shifted, sent ahead. The Commonwealth is in resurrection life of that. Because whatever we have, they have. Whatever they have, we have. That's how family is. That's how tribes are. That's how we are able to move more, because we can move as one. So we bless them. We bless their inheritance. We say, Rod and Julie, you get your inheritance. You get to keep what God promised. You get to obtain what He planned. And the power of God is now coming on your life to do the exploits of God that He's promised you all your life. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We thank God for you, and we delight in what God's doing with you. And we just bless all of Commonwealth and the sound. We say the music is coming forward, that music that will be fun, enlightening, giving, releasing, liberating, and bring men and women to Christ. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Now, Lord. Now, Lord. Now, Lord, now, Lord, unlock the secrets that have been hidden by our religious thinking to see clarity, to release hilarity, to release lives like the sound of Pentecost, the sound of joy, the sound of sight, and the sound of dance, the sound of vision, the sound of the ability to see. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Bless this offering. We sow it joyfully and hilariously in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And all of you, our channel of blessings, which is right out these two doors to the right, the end of the parking lot, next building over, is our food pantry ministry. We have a gobs of fresh fruit and vegetables.
Produce.
Go grab some, because we've been giving it away to all the churches, but we still got more food. So go get some of your shopping done on the way out today, and that way you'll have it. All right? Okay. All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you're going to?
Yep, Sam's got.
Okay, go. You're going to go. They're going to, yeah. They want to play it.
We're not doing the video.
You're not going to play it?
We're not doing the video. We got it.
You got this.
Okay, wait a second. They want to do the track.
Yeah.
I told Brian, turn the track on.
Do you want the track?
No track.
It's perspective. No track?
The track.
Huh? He wants the track.
Oh, okay. We got it.
All right.
They want the track.
this is family.
While we're sorting this out, did you know cream pie may be the door that opens hearts all through London? We don't know.
Right.
We don't know. 3,000 people got saved because everybody thought they got drunk. So now 5,000 people got saved because they're going to say, this is some kind of sort of cream pie. We don't really know. You guys, it's our religious thinking that's limiting God, and that's what he's going to unlock. And some of it's going to go, whoa, what's that? What's that? It's cream pie.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
Let you go. You guys are... release to go into your day, but just stay for a first part of this song. Mm-hmm.